Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Akev. This week, Dr. Mish Hammer-Kassoy discusses Akev. Dr. Hammer-Kassoy is a member of the Pardes faculty and also serves as the director of admissions for Pardes. And now, Dr. Mish Hammer-Kassoy.
Thank you, Larry. This week's parsha is a continuation of the longest of Moshe's speech, longest of Moshe's speeches in Sefer Devarim in the book of Deuteronomy, all of them in preparation for entering the land. It includes rebuke and instruction, especially around the issue of remaining faithful to God. That is Parshat Akev, this week's Parsha. And there are actually some pretty famous verses in this week's Parsha, especially in the end of the Parsha, if you can hold in till the end, that goes through the seven species, our special connection to the land, and God's very special connection to the land through rain, that Enei Hashem Batamid, God, that God's eyes are always on the land, and the second paragraph of the Shema, which promises reward and punishment to those who keep the commandments and punishment for those who don't keep the commandments. However, given the date and that we're in these weeks that after Tisha B'Av, it felt appropriate to me to focus on the events that took from our Parsha that take place specifically at this time of year. And that is, Rashi explains on this in this week's Parsha, he explains that the breaking of the tablets and their recreation in chapters 9 and 10, which are basically a condensed retelling of Exodus 32 through 34, Rashi explains in our Parsha that these things happened at this time of year. The first tablets were broken on the 17th of Tammuz a few weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. And he prayed from the 18th of Tammuz till the 28th of Tammuz for 40 days for us to be absolved and for permission to make the second tablets. And on the 29th of Av, he finally gets permission to forgiveness, right, and permission to make the second Luchot. And on Rosh Chodesh Elul, the beginning of this coming month, he is told to reascend the mountain for the composition and the getting of the second tablets. That's the topic that I wanted to focus on today, specifically the second tablets, the relationship between the first tablets and the second tablets and the breaking of the tablets. A passage in the Gemara that is based on a verse in this week's Parsha that has always been very compelling for me. It says, the Torah says, right, "Psal lecha shnei luchot abanim karishonim va'alei alai ha'hara va'asita lecha aron eitz." Okay, at that time, God said to me, "Make yourself two stone tablets like the early ones, and I will write them on the. I will write you new ones." Like the Luchot HaRishonim Asher Shibarta, like the first tablets Asher Shibarta that you broke. Reish Lakish says, "Pa'amim shebitula shel Torah zehu yisoda, Asher Shibarta Amar lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yasher Koach sheShibarta." This is a wordplay. Sometimes the destruction of the Torah is the way that you establish it. As you see in the verse that I just read you, Asher Shibarta, that you broke, which is written Aleph Shin Resh, Shibarta, Asher Shibarta. And the Gemara here, Resh Lakish, reads it Yasher Sheshibarta, Yasher, that instead of an Aleph Yud, wow, way to go. Kol HaKavod, Yasher Koach Sheshibarta. You did the right thing, says God, in breaking those tablets. And I've always found that to be an incredibly strange thing to say. How could he say that? You look at the verses at the beginning of the chapter, right? That say, right? When God, Deuteronomy 9, verse 9 and 9 through 11. When I was gone to the, up to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant which the Lord made you, when I abode in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, I neither did eat bread nor drink water. And the Lord delivered me to me two tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spoke to you in the mountain out of the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. Here, Moshe is emphasizing over and over again, 40 days and 40 nights. I didn't eat and I didn't drink. Do you know what I went through to get these tablets? Do you know that these tablets were written with the finger of God? In the version in Exodus, it's almost an interpolation, a parenthetical statement. Luchot avanim k'tuvim mishnei avareihem, mizeh mizehem k'tuvim. There were tablets of stone written on two sides of them, from this side and from that side. They were written, and the tablets, haluchot ma'aseh elokim hem, they were the works of God. V'hamichtav, and the writing, michtav Elohim hu, it was the writing of God. Charut al haluchot, engraved on the stones. There's an emphasis both in Deuteronomy and in Exodus of the magical, miraculousness of these tablets, the way they were created by God, the way they were the result of a obviously miraculous 40 days and 40 nights of supernatural, not eating, not drinking, not sitting. Certainly this tremendous building of dramatic tension. Do you know what these tablets are? How can you think to have these tablets broken? The simple reading of the Torah seems to imply that this is the most terrible tragedy and a very harsh punishment, the breaking of these tablets, part of Moshe's severe punishment in the context of his subsequent slaughter of 3,000 people by Levi, by the tribe of Levi under Moshe's direction. And so it's clear in the part from the simple reading of the text, both in Deuteronomy and in Exodus, that this is an irreparable loss. And you feel it. You feel it even more when you're told to. When we hear about the second tablets, because the second tablets, the psolecha, you should make for yourself luchot avanim, right? So that the next set of tablets, why are not of the same status as the first tablets? While the first tablets were made by God, maaseh Elohim hema, v'michtav michtav Elohim hema. The first tablets are made and written by God. The second tablets are made by human beings. The breaking of the tablets represents an irreparable loss that cannot be healed. And yet, and Rashi understands it that way also. He seems to say, right, that the demand from God, psalacha, you should carve out new tablets, is you broke it, you fix it. You know, I'm not going to make new ones, says God. If you broke the first tablets, then you should be the one that has to make the second tablets. So I'm filled with curiosity to understand what on earth Rashi is saying, Reish Lakish is saying, when he says, Yasher Koach Sheshibarta, way to go in breaking those tablets. And I want to spend a few minutes investigating some midrashic interpretations of the differences between the two sets of tablets and their significance to understand why Reish Lakish might think that it was a good idea to break them. The first midrash is that of Mishnat Rabbi Eliezer. And he offers four pieces of evidence that the second tablets are even better than the first, he says. Let me read that midrash to you. Shnei luchot avanim kirishonim. Arba bidot hayu luchot achronot yitzerot al rishonot. There were four things that the second tablets have over the first tablets. Luchot rishonot lo naaseh lehen aron kodem horadatan. Luchot Achronot Naaseh Lehen Aron Kodem Horadatan. Shenemar Aseh Aron Etzei Shitim. Vayu. This is very explicit in the text, and actually only in the book of Deuteronomy, in our telling in this week's Parsha, that Moshe is commanded to make a aron, a cabinet, a box in which to keep the tablets, which hadn't been done in the first case. And one can wonder what's the significance. I mean, of course, one is brought to wonder, especially since this distinction between Deuteronomy and Exodus is very pronounced. Why is this so important? And on a simple reading, most of the early commentators, the medieval commentators, indicate that this is a sign of endurance. The Ramban says you need to put them in a container so that on the way down, they don't drop by accident. But it's also a sign of preparation. And the Midrash continues, Shneamar hayu domim lekala nichneset letok chupata, that the tablets feel should resemble a bride which is entering the bridal canopy, so that the aron, the cabinet in which you place the tablets, is a sign of excitement, of preparation, of anticipation and reception for the tablets. We're so looking forward to the receiving of the tablets that we've made a reception place, almost a kind of party. And that is a way of creating value, or adding for us, showing our anticipation in a way that really changes the way we receive the tablets. And the Midrash continues. Luchot Rishonot lo ne'amar behen tov, aval luchot achronot ne'amar behen tov, shenamar leman yitav lach. Devar acher mipnei ma lo ne'amar behen tov beluchot Rishonot, mipnei shegaluya viodua lifanav, shehen atidot lishaber. In the first luchot, in the first tablets, says the Midrash, it doesn't say leman yitav lach. It doesn't say so that good things will happen to you. And here, whereas in the second tablets it does, the simple reading of this Midrash is distinguishing between the fifth commandment in Exodus. In the Exodus is telling of the Ten Commandments, and the fifth commandment as told in the Deuteronomy version of the Ten Commandments. Only in the Deuteronomy commandment where it says you should honor your parents so that you have a long life, and in Deuteronomy also so that you can leman yitav lach, so that it will be good for you. And that is apparently only in the second tablets. Thirdly, the third distinction, about which the Midrash continues to say, why does it say that in the first tablets? Because it was known, it was revealed before God that the first tablets were destined to break. God knew all along that the first tablets were not going to endure, that they were going to break. The second tablets are tov because they have an ability to endure. The third difference, Luchot Rishonot lo hayu mafhik ben klaster panav shel Moshe. The first tablets did not make Moshe's face glow. Aval Luchot Achronot mafhik ben klaster panav shel Moshe. Whereas the second tablets did cause Moshe's face to glow, and he got Karen or Panav. His face had rays of light, which he needed to cover with a veil. That again reflects a certain power to the right. There's a magical sense about those tablets, about the encounter of those tablets, which show that they have an impact on the person who has received them in a way that the first tablets did not have an impact on the person that received them. Similar, furthermore, Luchot Rishonot yardu umatzu Yisrael b'oto maaseh, aval Luchot Achronot yardu v'kiblum kol Yisrael b'tzom u'b'tachnim u'b'tfila u'b'tishbachot. The first tablets came down, right, in the hands of Moshe, and they found the Jewish people doing that deed, meaning the golden calf. But the second tablets, when they came down, they saw Israel in fast and in supplication and in prayer, in prayer and in praising of God. What that is an allusion to is an allusion to the fact that the second tablets were given to Bnei Israel on Yom Kippur in a state of special holiness. The second, whereas the first tablets came down on a regular day, a day of chol, a day of tragedy, the second tablets were received when Bnei Israel was fully, fully immersed in their relationship to God. So says the Mishnah Rebbe Eliezer that there are actually four different ways in which you can see that the second tablets are actually better than the first tablets. And certainly they were more enduring, they were anticipated, they were wanted. There was part of making up after a there's the fact that they are a reflection of having made up after a fight seems to imply that the relationship is stronger for what has happened. And so that the second opportunity, we can understand Reish Lakish saying that way to go in breaking these tablets, because the new tablets that you got are even better than the first tablets. And in this case, I would say primarily because of the relationship that was created between Moshe and Bnei Israel in creating a space and a readiness for those tablets that made them able to endure in a way that they weren't able to the first time. I'd like to share a second midrash, this one from Shmot Rabbah, which comes in the context of a series of what was Moshe thinking, right? How could he break those luchot? And there's a number of answers there, but the one that our midrash gives is that Moshe came down and saw the golden calf, and he knew instantaneously that the people didn't have a chance. There were no grounds for defense of their part. What could he possibly do to protect them? And he did exactly what a mother does to protect her child. He threw his body, metaphorically, on theirs. Chiber nafsho imahem, says the Midrash. He threw down the tablets as a way of saying, their sin and my sin are the same. We're all in the same boat. If you want to save me, you have to save them too. And it works. But then, says the Midrash, he starts to get nervous. He realizes that he used himself, put himself on the line to protect Bnei Israel. But who's protecting him? Who's going to throw his body? Whose body will be thrown on top of Moshe to protect him? He's totally vulnerable. And Hashem answers, is this verse. He says, "Beluchot rishoni," he says, not to worry. "Psalecha, your scheme has worked and you don't have to worry. And the proof that it worked is that your second tablets will be even better than the first. Luchot rishonot chelo hayu ela aserot aserat dibrot bilvad. Beluchot shniim ani noten lecha sheyeh behem halachot midrash vaagadot. The first tablets only had the Ten Commandments alone, but the second tablets, I'm going to give you, says God, in these tablets, the halachot and the midrash and the stories, the legends. As it says in the verse, I told you secrets. That's the first tablets. The first tablets were secretive. I didn't understand them. They were just the Ten Commandments. The second ones were kiflaim, twice as good in terms of helpfulness, because those ones had within them the halachot, the midrash, and the agadah. What's reflected in this tradition is this idea that there's more information somehow in the second tablets. The second tablets reflect not just the Torah Shebichtav, the written law, but also the oral law. And this seems to be derived from the Katavti Alaluchot Et Hadvarim. I'm going to write Et had the words. Okay, the et, according to rabbinic tradition, always comes to include something else. What's being included here? The oral tradition as well as the written tradition. All of them are included in those tablets. I wonder what exactly that means. I think at some level, perhaps on a symbolic level, it comes from the words psalecha. You should make for yourself There's human participation in the process of creation. And that's exactly what is represented by the Torah Shebaal Peh. The oral law is exactly that Torah, which is written, which is part of a received tradition from God, but also has within it the psalacha, the human component, contribution at some basic level. And that is symbolic of the oral tradition. And so the rabbis understand that the second tablets were better than the first tablets, not just because they were enduring, but also because they had a fantastic and deep tradition in them, an ability for human participation in the form of the oral law, and that made the Torah more enduring and more powerful. And so I'd like to summarize now what we've learned. I think that in a lot of ways, this is a continuation of some of the things that I spoke about in Parshat Zvarim a few weeks ago. This special nature of the book of Deuteronomy as a Mishneh Torah, which I suggested a couple weeks ago, based on the Pachad Yitzchak, the Maharal, and the Abarbanel, the book of Deuteronomy represents this amplified role of the receiver of the Torah, which is so essential when you're trying to make a transfer. Imagine trying to give a gift to someone if you don't have a receiver. And just as Moshe is a participant in giving the Torah, so too Moshe is a participant in the carving of the second tablets. And while we would have thought that the breaking of the first tablets was a terrible, irreparable tragedy, Hashem's consent to give them again, we would have thought, is nothing but a partial concession. And yet we see from Reish Lakish that, and in a couple of supplemental midrashim, that it doesn't need to be seen that way at all. Quite the opposite. The second tablets can be perceived as even better than the first. They have the gift and the ability of endurance. They have a container. They have goodness. They have a reflection and impact on the receiver. They're enduring because of the special conditions in which they descended to earth. Rather than arriving in sin, they arrive to the forgiveness of Yom Kippur. And not only are they stable, they also have more information. They have hints to the oral Torah that we can decipher and understand and contribute and participate, as indicated by the idea of psalacha, that you yourself, Moshe, have to carve the tablets. And when you carve the tablets, somehow those tablets are more enduring, more creative, and more powerful even than those amazing, miraculous tablets that were ma'aseh Elokim, that were entirely from the hand of God. So for us at this time of year, we mourn our lost paradise. The lost paradise, the perfect moment of those first tablets, which represented complete, complete connection with God, total control from God. But at the same time, we know that we can reconstruct the relationship and reconstruct it even stronger in the face of failure, more enduring and better the second time. And so in this period of time, we know that Moshe is praying for our forgiveness, so to speak. May we also be able to realize this model in our own lives. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Dr. Hammer Kassoy. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.